In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16, Jesus uses the metaphor of light in order to describe and to contrast the darkness of sin with the light of salvation. Today, we're blessed to hear from our guest speaker from Tennessee, Elder William Hamer, who comes with part 9 of our series on Show and Tell with the topic, Let Others See Christ in You. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
They take me to the finest courses, treat me like a king, and who wouldn't enjoy that? Amen. But we're just thankful for an opportunity to come and share. And I got some instructions from the pastor. And so I'm not here to try to be the pastor. I'm just here to preach the word. Amen. Amen. So we want to draw your attention to the gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew's Gospel, 5th chapter, when you find it, say amen. The 14th verse is where we would read. Verse 14, I have the New International Version. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Your version may read, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We are the light of the world. Therefore, let others see the light in you, or let others see the light in us. And that is our theme for the morning. Let others see Christ in you. You got it? Let others see Christ in you. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we're grateful and thankful. We're thankful, first, Lord, that you allowed us strength and energy and traveling grace to make it all the way from Nashville to here safely. We thank the Lord that you went before us and protected us and came up behind us and protected us. And here we stand, Lord, in this holy spot trying to declare your holy word. We summon your power to come and stand with me, preach through me, so these your children can hear from heaven, be blessed, be encouraged, and leave knowing that you loved us enough to send your son to reconcile us unto you. Bless your word. We'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The gospel according to John the Revelator, or the author of John, says that John the Baptist states in chapter 1, verse 9, that Jesus is the true light. The true light that gives light to every man was now coming into the world. He came to his own, meaning the Israelite nation, but they received him not. But those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We who were called Gentiles received them and received those rights. It's just amazing how the Sunday school lesson is tying in to this message. Amen. Amen. Because we just learned that Jesus invited all who were crippled and poor and lame, all of the outside people, he invited to be part of the kingdom. Now, as we continue, John the Revelator echoes chapter 1, verse 9, in chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever becomes my disciples, will never walk in darkness, but would have the light of life." Matthew and John, who were both disciples of Christ, are describing two forms of light. The candle in Matthew's gospel is physical light. During those days, young people on the front row, glad to see you there. During those days, there were no street lights nor electricity. So therefore, when night fell, one had to supply light with candles or fire, which would give light to the dark areas. The higher the light, the brighter the glow. Jesus used this metaphor of the candle to introduce spiritual light and spiritual darkness, which is sin. Jesus came to cleanse us of all our sins. To walk in spiritual darkness was walking in sin. All of mankind was under the penalty of sin and death due to Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Stay with me. All mankind had was the law. But the law of Moses and the prophets, which taught them how to live holy before God and righteous before God, and how we should live holy and peaceful among one another. Still with me? But there was no salvation in the law. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law, or complete what God had begun in restoring the right relationship, or the holy relationship, between us and him. And then Jesus also came to give us the full meaning of what the law had to say, which could only take place through Jesus' commitment, suffering, and sacrifice at Calvary. From one man came all of life. And from one man, God reconciled us back to him through the life of Jesus Christ. So Jesus hit the ground running. Chapter 3 of Matthew's Gospels, John the Baptist, John says, John the Baptist, that Jesus came preaching in the wilderness, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And while he was preaching, Jesus came to be baptized. Chapter 4 in Matthew states that Satan tried to destroy him and his mission with several temptations, which Jesus diffused with the word of God. The word of God is our defense against the wiles of the devil. John the Baptist was arrested, and Jesus began to teach and preach where John the Baptist left off. In that same chapter 4, he calls his first 4 disciples and performed several miracles which brought crowds from every region. As the crowds gathered, Jesus made an amphitheater out of the side of Mount Olive in chapter 5 and began teaching the Beatitudes. Chapter 5, verses 14 and 16 is where the subject of this lesson is found. Let others see Christ in us. Verse 14 says, you are, we are the light of the world. In paraphrase, we should not be hidden. Those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who have confessed and repented of our sins, have been given the responsibility of continuing the work of making other disciples. He has brought us out of darkness, sin, into his marvelous light, salvation, by removing all of our sins and forgiving us of all of our sins so that we can bring light to this dark and sinful world. That's our task, and that's our mission. And it's time, Brother C. Wright, that we stop hiding. The world doesn't know many disciples of Christ because we hide behind fears and make all of those flimsy excuses that we heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning. The world don't know us because we walk like the world. We talk like the world. The same music that's coming out of our vehicles is no different than theirs. And what really saddens me is that a few of us are afraid of our own children. We give them a vote. Isn't that something? We give our children a vote. They pay no rent, no mortgage. They pay no light bills, no water bills. They buy no groceries. They buy no clothes. And we give them a vote. Little Johnny is 8. You going to church today? No, I don't feel like it. Well, you lock the doors now. I'll be back about 2. Don't let nobody in. And I'll bring you something to eat when I get home from church. That don't sound like a son. That sounds like a boyfriend to me. Mama said, get out of that bed. I'll be back in 30 minutes. Don't let me have to come back in here, or a fight is going to break out, and you're going to lose. And to church we went. I'm just simply saying, the light of Jesus should shine in our homes first, to our family first, especially those of us who have been converted and repented and received all of these blessings that God has bestowed upon us since we came to Jesus. Those in our family should notice a spiritual change in us first. Somebody should recognize that we've been born again, that something different and magnificent has taken place in us, and our conduct and our character should make them want to follow us. That's our bright light. Jesus was preparing his disciples then and now, those he had handpicked and those who joined him from the crowd after witnessing the miracles, to continue the work of making other disciples or followers of Christ. He encouraged them to embrace the Beatitudes. He says, you will receive spiritual joy by comforting those poor in spirit. And those who mourn, you will find joy when you comfort those who are mourning and are grieving. You will receive spiritual joy from those you feed who are hunger and thirsting after righteousness. He goes on and says, the merciful will be shown mercy. The peacemakers will be called the children of God, and the pure in heart will see God face to face. He said, don't worry about being persecuted for righteousness. Ours will be the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice, he says, I rejoice when men shall insult you and say all manners of evil against you, because great is our reward in heaven with the King. That's when we witness. And that's when we let others see Christ in us. You see, the light of Jesus Christ is his love, which covers his compassion, his tolerance, his patience, his long-suffering, his commitment, his forgiveness, his mercy, and his willingness to sacrifice his life for redemption. All of God's attributes were wrapped up in Christ's love for the Father and his love for us. And that is why heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and lighted on him. Then God spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. These attributes that are in God, these attributes that are in Christ, should also be in us if we are to be the light of this sin-sick world. Amen? Darkness to the disciples was sundown. Darkness to Jesus is sin. Light to the disciples were daybreak or sun up. But light to Jesus was opportunity, which he took advantage of when he bumped into the blind man from birth in verses 1 and 2. You see, the Israelites had been taught and believed that all physical handicaps were the result of prenatal or parental sin. But when asked by Jesus whose sin, Jesus replied, neither. This happened. God placed us here and him here so that the works of God, the awesome power of God, can be displayed through the blind man. He's here to give us an opportunity to work while it's day. Church, no chore should be beneath us. No matter how awesome or how gruesome it may seem, no chore should be beneath us. We should be willing to do whatever it takes to bring someone out of darkness into the marvelous saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, when he sits on the throne in heaven, in heavenly glory, to separate the sheep from the goat, or the good from the evil, those on the right will be blessed by the Father and receive an inheritance prepared for them since the creation of the world. For Jesus said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me drink? A stranger, and did you invite me in? Naked, did you clothe me? Sick, did you care for me? When I was in prison, did you come it to visit me? And finally he says, whatever you didn't do for the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. Our light should shine through our compassion for others. Our light should shine through our testimony of God's goodness. Our light should shine through our commitment. Our light should shine through our integrity. Our light should shine through our faithfulness. Our light should shine through our trials and tribulations. That's when it really should shine. When our backs are against the wall and we have no other place to turn, that's when our light should really shine to show that we are totally committed on God to make a way out of no way. The only Christ's Son will ever see is through us. And that's why the songwriter said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. In other words, that the gift that God has given us, the gift that God has given me, I'm going to do my best to let it shine in the service of the Lord. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. All in my home and my community, I'm going to let it shine. On my job in the mall, at the grocery store, on the golf course, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to worry about trying to protect this flesh. I'm going to fear God who can kill both the body and the soul. Therefore, everywhere I go and at every opportunity I get, I'm going to let my little light shine so that others can see Christ in me and find their way to salvation. I'm not going to blend in with body sculpting and body piercing, lighter towel and vulgar language, baggy clothes. I'm going to blend out by displaying godly attributes of commitment and sacrifice and integrity and showing agape love. All in my home, out in the world, all on my job, in all that I do, I'm going to let the Jesus shine through me. And we should let the Jesus of Christ shine through us so that men can see our good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. The only light, the only Christ many will ever see is the Jesus that's in you. God bless you, and God keep you is my prayer. Amen.
Man, what a wonderful word. Amen. Amen. And I hope we will pay attention to what God gave him to give to us on today. Amen. Let that light shine. Let it shine. And if you haven't made a decision to be his first, if you haven't made a decision to allow him to be Lord and Savior of your life, that's the beginning of this trip down here. Got to make that decision first. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Amen. Starts there. Will you let him be Lord, and will you let him be Savior of your life? Amen. And for those who do know him and they want to reevaluate just how they've been serving him, and they know that they can do better, and they know they can let that light shine more, they may have quenched the Holy Spirit at times. Well, here's an opportunity now to come up for prayer as well. Amen. As the workers come, we have folks here available to pray with you, to guide you through that process as well of what must I do to be saved. Amen. Don't let this moment pass you by. Tomorrow is not promised. Choose ye this day who you will serve. The call is coming out from this pulpit, and it comes out continually from this pulpit, that you must be right with God. You gotta be right with him. While you have breath, get right with him. Because tomorrow might be too late. Amen. As we stand.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at @NLCCPontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you. Thank you.